Afternoons with Liz Barker. Cambridge
105. It is 2:30 and I'm hoping my guest is going to be on the other end of the phone now because I should be joined by comedian Rachel Mars. Rachel, are you there? Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Yes.
I can hear you.
We can hear you too. Hurrah. Now you're
Good, it's working.
This is a first for me. So things that actually work technically, don't normally go my way. But listen, where are you and what are you doing?
I will paint a picture for you. I'm in the middle of rehearsal for the show that's coming to Cambridge on Wednesday, and I'm in the glamorous surroundings of a men's toilet, coat over my head for sound quality in South London. It's all glamour.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. Now, Carnal Hearts, I've read a bit about it. It's coming to the Junction on Cambridge on Wednesday. It's your tour, isn't it? So we get you first. Tell me about it, because from the pictures, I can see you're in the middle. The audience are around you. And it's been described as raucous.
It is raucous, yes. So it's a show for me and for female singers. And it happened in a kind of, if you imagine like a boxing ring, I suppose it's that sort of setup with a flat stage. And there's one singer on each side. So you get this kind of surround sound, choral noise, really, which is underscoring the whole show. And it's a show about from envy and competition and being human and all those feelings and what we do with feelings of envy and how we express them.
Yeah, because envy isn't something we like to talk about, is it? I mean, envy is something that we sort of pretend we don't feel, perhaps. So it's an emotion that isn't really touched upon or discussed that much, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really taboo emotion. It's one of the seven sins, I suppose. So it's considered sinful, or historically it's been considered sinful. But actually, I think envy is sort of what comes about when you compare yourself to someone else and you find that you've come up short. And it's those kind of feelings of discomfort and wanting, not only finding that maybe you want what someone else has got, but actually you don't want them to have it. You're still there, good.
I'm listening intently.
That's the kind of questions in the show about what we do now with those feelings of envy in this kind of modern society.
But I'm guessing it's funny, it's done in a humorous way, and I can imagine the singers, I mean, do they just suddenly sing a song and it's a belter?
Yeah, they do. So there's kind of two roles that they have. One, which is a kind of like a underscore-y kind of background singing role. So sometimes I'm doing lots of talking and they're doing kind of underscoring. Sometimes they suddenly go into, there's a bit where they suddenly go into Spandau Ballet Gold, like a choral version of that. They also have, their kind of big number is a song called the Humble Brag song, where we trawled kind of Twitter and Facebook and wrote down all of the best of these kind of humble brags, which is when people are wanting to show off, essentially, but pretending they don't want to. And so we've got this song where all the text is these people's humble brags, like Amazon just recommended my own book to me, hashtag awkward, things like that. There's a nice interplay between me and then the kind of ball thing. I think I was interested in, because we are not encouraged to talk about our envy, I was like, well, let's think about it. Let's do it on a grand scale.
I love it. I love the idea of it. And I mean, do you mostly get women in your audience, or is it sort of anybody?
No, not at all. It's totally mixed always. So it's been an all female team. So all the singers and me obviously identify as female. And then I think because it's funded from the Arts Council, and I was in a position of being able to choose who I wanted to employ, and still there's so many more men employed than women in theatre. I had a bit of control, so I thought I'd redress the balance of it. So our lighting designer, our sound designer, our producer, our technician, it's a totally female team for once, which has been really nice, actually.
I bet it's nice, especially as you're touring around together and working together. It's girly. I like that. And
it's girly, but it's also rude and... talk about body functions, and there's a real kind of wildness, I think, in the company.
What's your plan next? I mean, once you've done this tour, have you got any ideas for future shows?
Yeah, I'm about to start a show for November in all the Barbican in London, which is all about roller derby. We're starting with roller derby, which is the predominantly female sport played on roller skates, and I think it's the biggest growing sport in the world. It's a full contact, a bit like a little bit like rugby, but on roller skates.
Really?
So we are, yeah, it's brilliant. I'm sure Cambridge has a team, actually. It definitely will. It's a kind of cult, like a culture, a cult culture, I would say. And so we are working with a load of different roller derby teams around the country to make a show, turn it into kind of, a theatre show, or use ideas of it for a new theatre show called Roller. So that's the next thing.
So will you...
More women to
Yes, more women. So you're going to be performing on roller skates, is that the plan?
Well, maybe. I am terrible at sport, which is why I do theatre. Because at sport, I was always like, I was a kid who wasn't fat but still managed to be terrible, and no one could understand why. So I went into drama instead, but I think I will be, I'm probably encouraged on skates, so that's just,
So how did you get into the comedy side of it? Did that just happen by accident, or were you...
I'm not really a comedian, actually. I know you described it as a comedian, but I'm more of a kind of first person. But what I did was, my family always tell a lot of gags, and so I started to think about what that's like to kind of always be telling jokes about things. So I ended up making a show a few years ago called The Way You Tell Them, which was about why people tell gags and how they work. And for that, I went on a sort of stand-up course, really, to see how people were learning how to be stand-up. And did a load of stand-up kind of as research, really. And so that's how that kind of came about. But I haven't done it for a while. It's a bonkers thing to do.
I imagine you have to be very brave. I mean, yeah.
I think you really do. And I think the people that do it night after night, I just have massive admiration for them. Because you can be, interesting or clever, and it's really what counts is getting the laugh. So if you're, very interesting or make very interesting points, doesn't matter. It's not funny, obviously. And so it's a slightly different skill, I think. Yeah, I'm really in awe of people that do it.
So when you go touring, where else are you going to be after Cambridge?
So we are Cambridge, then we go to Plymouth, and then Harlow, and then we're in London, and then Cardiff and Leeds, and then back in London. And then hopefully we'll be doing Edinburgh this summer. And then it looks like we actually opened the show in Austin in Texas, which was kind of great. They didn't know Spandau Ballet got that gag absolutely fell flat. It looks like we'll be doing some more US touring next year. And that is always good, because then it makes brings up conversations about how people deal with kind of envy and competition in different nationalities, different countries. Because the American dream, I think, changes the way people compete with each other.
Yeah, I imagine that's quite interesting, actually, the American take on envy.
Yeah, I think it is, because I think they're a bit more overt in being competitive. We've got this kind of English reserve where, we are compelled by the system to try and do better than anyone else, but we're not allowed to talk about how we feel when it makes us feel a bit grubby.
And I think we have to be... go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we're quite passive, aren't we, in sort of passive-aggressive.
Exactly, so it comes out like that. Yeah, there's a whole song in the show called the Congratulations Song. It's a song of how, if someone says something that makes you feel envious, how to say congratulations, I'm so happy for you. you come away armed with a bit of a kit to pull bag about how to cope with stuff, hopefully.
So... what are the Cambridge audiences like when you play the Junction? How does it go down?
Yeah, it was great. We did it last year as part of the Watch Out Festival, so it was kind of a full day of performance. And it was absolutely packed and very, very full. I don't force anyone in the audience to join in. That's like my least favourite thing as an audience member. So I don't do that. But there are obviously people to kind of join in if they want to. And they were a very honest audience in Cambridge. There is a bit where I kind of ask people to think about someone they envy. And I think in Cambridge someone said, oh, this person is sitting next to me right now. They've just got a job.
They were
very honest. Very honest.
Wow.
And it's a mixture of kind of a thinky show and a very, I'm quite dark and also really funny. And everyone went with it. It was fun.
I love the combination with the singing as well. I think that sounds like a brilliant night out. And I'm going to give details of how people can get tickets and see you on Wednesday. But for now, Rachel, I want to say thank you so much for talking to us. You've done brilliantly to stay on the line. Have a great show and a great tour. And good luck with it all. Thanks again. And you can...
Thanks. much.
You can escape the toilet now under your coat.
Men's toilets are different to women's toilets.
No, I can imagine. I'm going to let you go. I'll see you later, Rachel. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye.